Well, I'll tell you what, we were very progressive, or at least that's what I call it. I mean, we wanted to advance. We didn't figure that women should just talk. And those, lots of them didn't go to school. So when we could get a teacher, we get enough people for a class, and we'll different kind of classes. And this is one of them. Mm-hmm. This is my baby because I liked it. If I didn't like it, I don't think we would ever have the ceramic mm-hmm. class or china painting.
Was it a way to try and bring more women into
yeah.
the union and by having all the
yes.
activities?
Yes, and we used to have a singing group.
Mm-hmm.
And we, the only thing we didn't have is piano lessons or anything like that. We only had a mandolin mm-hmm. group. And we had sewing classes. They would last maybe 1 year and something happened and disband and then start something else. We always had something going.
Were there ever any things like literature classes or like for the people who hadn't gone to school who wanted to?
They did have some classes here for people that didn't go to school. Then they used to have classes how to speak in public. You know, I didn't know. I used to be scared to death to speak in public. And then I finally learned where I didn't care how I spoke. I just got up and did it.
Well, Anita, when you would organize, you know, try and bring women into the union, would you ever talk about the classes as a way to...
Oh, I talked about everything. Whatever I could think of. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever I see the interest. Because you walk in the house, sometimes you don't know what to talk about. You have time to look for, like, one of my favorite things that I used to do. You know, mothers love to be told their daughters are beautiful. So usually when I come in the house, I see a picture of some nice, even if she wasn't nice, but I would say, gee, what a beautiful daughter, or she your daughter, or your sister, or, and then they kind of loosen up. When it used to be hard to organize it when we go, and there'd be two, like husband and wife, see? And then it would be awful hard to talk to his wife because maybe she's ready to say yes and he'll go with his head no and that was the end of it. Or she would say yes and he'd say no. So we finally a device that we, somehow would fit. So one would be looking at the husband and one at the wife so they couldn't be making signals to each other. And different things.
But so if you thought someone was interested, for instance, in seeing you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then they'll... And I'll tell them, join the union, and you don't have to pay anything. And if you want to learn to speak English, then we have teachers to become citizens. That was very, very good, you know, to become citizens. Mm-hmm. And also, even to write. Some of them knew how hardly how to write, you know.
Do you think that made much difference in the sense that do you think that someone who was undecided said, that when they found out about all these other things, would make up their mind yes to join?
Well, I think everybody could help, you know. The first years, they were easier to organize or later because the wages were so bad. And we would bring paychecks or something, you know, to prove to them what others are making. And then I'd go and tell them, and this I believe with all my heart, that in a union shop, they treat you better. Because in the non-union shop, there used to be really sweatshops, and I mean sweatshops.
Mm-hmm.
They used to sometimes, like the boss would stay behind you and you put a clock in front of you to see how fast you're going to make that garment. Well, you know, just the idea of somebody's watching you, you start getting shaky. So, and then they used to do all kinds of things to the poor women. Long hours, they used to punch out and keep on working, or sometimes they bath it full of water to their homes.
So in the beginning, you could talk
beginning,
about the conditions.
In the conditions, and that they'd be treated like a human being. You won't be yelled at, and you won't be kept after hours, and it was much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, of course, the non-union shops got smart, and they started paying better, and they started paying holidays. But we always say, anyway, the first thing I would say was, if it had been for the union, because sometimes we would lose a strike, or maybe we couldn't get them where, you know, enough people to sign up. But they would improve the conditions. Like there's a shop in El Monte, Jeremiah, I think, was made and makes very, very expensive lingerie. And I'm telling you, if they didn't work on the day before the holiday, they made them stay. And if you took half a day off, they made them work for nothing. And all kinds of things. And when the union came in, we worked in there so hard, and they started giving them holidays. Well, they gave two holidays, and not exactly a clinic, but the owner was a doctor, so he had some kind of little medicine chest there and there. So that kind of was against us. And we thought that shop was something awful. We got lots of conditions, like in the union shops. But we never got the union shop because we never could get the election started.
Mm.
Because they were smart, they used to fire the important people and then they get scared. And there was an awful lot of these illegals.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they themselves would call the immigration. And then they would blame it on the union. And of course, they get caught and they blamed us for the their home. And I tell them, now you work in a union shop for a little while, and you have a vacation check mm-hmm. coming.
See?
And then later on, things got bad.
So you'd have to use, like you talk about the classes and that yeah. kind of thing, became more important.
Yeah. Well, the classes were always, I mean, from the beginning to the end, I always came out and you should have heard me. I used to be like a parrot, you know. And I didn't repeat the same words. I mean, and the one thing, and I think, not that I'm bragging, but I think the reason I was a good organizer, because I believed in everything I told them. I never told them something that I didn't believe.
Mm.
And if you believe something, it's easier to mm-hmm. convince people. And another thing, the old union didn't pay very big wages to the organizers and business agents. Dubinsky didn't believe in that. He said, we have to do it because we like it. And we did. I think that all of us, the old-timers, most of us worked for the love of the job, not for the money. Now it's entirely different. Now they won't even start unless they start with $150 or $200 or something. When I was going to leave, I had one more year to go, but I got my last raise about 6 months before I got the heart attack, and I just got barely to the minimum because I was the lowest paid one in the union.
Even at the time of
that? Well, no. When I left, I wasn't. I was getting the same as the others. 6 months before, this new man that they have now, his name is Cornelius Wald. When he came and he read at the meeting in front of everybody how much everybody gets, I thought I'd go on there with floor. I was so embarrassed because I was making the lowest wages and I was the oldest one there. And he came out and said it. He said, how come you have a thing like this going on in a place that's supposed to be a union? That we have Anita Castro here for over 30 some years and she's still getting the lowest wages. So he, without me asking him, he gave me my wages to the minimum, union minimum, which that time was $204.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the men were getting extra money. Besides getting higher wages, not much, maybe $5 or $10 more, but they had other ways of getting more money, like $10 a week for going to Santa Barbara, let's say, or $10 for going to the Central Labor mm-hmm. Council, or because you make a trip to Sacramento. And anyway, the another $10, like we had one, the assistant manager, and his name was Max Wolf, and he used to get paid for going to the impartial chairman, $10 a week extra. He used to get $10 for being a delegate to, what they call it. Anyway, you have to go to Sacramento about the working condition of the people, you know. And anyway, he was getting $40 a week more that he didn't show on the paycheck. He should show. So when Cornelius Wall came, the first thing he did is take everybody's extra money. Boy, you should have seen them, how many they got. And they come to me and he's no good and he's so and so. And I'd be laughing, you know, because I came up to their standards. So I said, yeah, it's funny. I said, it's so bad. I said, it's funny you never said like that before when I used to tell you that I'm getting less money. And one of the reasons I think that I was getting less money, and I'm not anti-Jewish, I have very good friends in all these races. I mean, I don't believe in Jews or Catholics or nothing, just people. But the Jewish fellows were all getting more money, and the boss was Jewish, and the vice president was Jewish, but his name was Samuel Otto. And he's still here, mm-hmm. he's retired. And he is the one that won't let them give me a raise if I will get the same as the others.
Mm.
Because he himself who wrote to the president of the union at the time was told that I was only a business agent and not an organizer. Mm. And it was the other way around, see?
Well, was it, you think it was also because you were a woman and
the people were other women? Yeah, there was other women, but the other women were getting less also.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it was two things.
Mm-hmm.
Women first, and second, I think, nationality.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, I was classified like a Mexican or some kind of a Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they admit it or not, I'm not Spanish even, but I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
See that the preference was to the Anglos or the Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mexicans or the Latins and the Negroes, they were behind.
But now, at what point was you also feeling, late in the later years, didn't the people no longer come out of the shop? I mean, in the early days, the officers and the business agents and the organizers all came from the shop. When did that change, and how did you feel about that?
Well, I didn't care because I used to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
See, but mostly, even when I left, which was in 71,
mm-hmm.
I got sick. But I was on the payroll until 72. They still were getting people from the shops, and they were teaching them how to be business agents, to organize. But since then, it has changed. And I still think that it would be better if they got people from the shop. Because you already got some experience. This way you have to start from scratch, like they say. And now they have a bunch of young kids that they never even saw union maybe in their life. And all at once they're business agents or organizers. But an organizer is not so bad because you can learn. But to be a business agent, you have to know more about what goes in the shops.
But while you were still there, they were still coming out.
They were still coming out the shop. Most of them. Some of them were coming from school. See, they used to have labor schools back east, and they used to come from school.
Wasn't there resentment on the part of the members about people coming from outside?
Yeah, there was some, especially some of them that wanted a job in the union. Now, for instance, I would recommend somebody, and then I had somebody that I had to, somehow he opposed me, I don't know why. To this day, I don't know why. His name is Sam Schwartz. He was the manager for a while. For a little while, he was very nice to me. And then when he became manager of the union, he changed towards me. Well, the reason I think he changed is because I wrote a letter to the president of the union, and I went over his head. Mm-hmm. And of course, I don't think he'd ever forgave me that. Because when I went to see him, he said, well, he says, you are Stolberg. He says, now wait until Stolberg gives you the raise. Because I was always complaining that I was getting $20 more less than the others, mm-hmm. because see, they were getting car expenses and I wasn't. And now they get a car and car expenses and entirely different story than it was then. So, you know, after all, if you know if you're making $20 less than somebody that's doing less work than you, it kind of hurts. But the thing is that I refused to quit,
mm-hmm.
because I had been there so many years. See, I worked all together 37 years, and only in the last few years is where things got bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, one Jean Yulin told me, well, if you don't like it, you quit. And I said, you know, you never see that day. I said, because even if I have to crawl, I said, I'm going to work here until my time, if you can fire me. And that used to make him mad, you know, because he couldn't fire me, so I used to get elected. And I got elected, I don't know how many times.
And up until the very end, you still remained very popular and you were still very well known.
Yes. But I didn't have the power in the inside as I did before.
Oh.
I was popular with the people. Even to this day, they still remember. But you know, something funny is happening lately. This, I don't know what it is. But you know, now they have... Now... I don't know, of course, see this vice president that we have now, Cornelius, well, he likes me. And I worked with him only 1 year, and then the next year I was sick. And I didn't work, but I still got paid until I became 65. And whether he likes me, or whether it's anyway, whenever there's a banquet, or somebody's retiring, or something's happening, I get an invitation. And now they make it their business to introduce me every time that I go there. Then, like not very long ago, they had a, let's see, what was it? Can't remember. What was it, Histadrut or something? I don't remember, some kind of doing at the union. Mm-hmm. And do you know, they introduced me, the retired business agent and organizer, Anita Castro. I was the only one that was introduced. And who do you think did it? The one that hates me the most, or hated me the most, I guess he still does. His name is Max Wolf. So now I say, well, whenever they have something, I say, well, why not? They didn't do it when I was supposed mm-hmm. to, because see, they didn't give me a farewell party, because they couldn't, because I was sick. But usually everyone that's retired, they got a small party at the office or outside, and they have a plaque. And I wanted a plaque. After all, after 37 years, I thought I was entitled to one. But nobody mentioned it, so I never got one. But it doesn't hurt. It's just, mm-hmm. I wish I had one. Yeah. You know, I don't know how to explain it, you know. I just figured, gee whiz, at least have my kids take a look at it mm-hmm. someday. But that's all.
Were you involved at all in the retirees group?
I'm starting to. I didn't do it before. First place, when I was well, I didn't consider myself old enough because I was too busy. But since I joined a couple senior citizen clubs in the neighborhood, so I went to the union and I talked to Mr. Warren. I asked him, I said, how come we don't have a senior citizen club? And he said, well, you know, the funny thing is we have one for years, but nobody does anything about it. Well, I said, well, I sure would like somebody to do something. So they have one, and in September they're going to start the meetings again. And I intend to be at the end mm-hmm. and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't intend to take any job like president or anything, because I can't,
mm-hmm.
because my health doesn't come in and I can't get too excited. But I'll see to it that somebody else does it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the retirees could do?
They can do. You'd be surprised what they can do. The retirees, they can, of course, have their social. Some of them are lonely people, have nobody. They only have the union. They meet other union people. Then, when there's a campaign going on for something, they can help by building literature, by sending out mail, you know, and some of them are even well enough to talk to people yet. And they can do enough in politics, they can do an awful lot. All these things, but they can make trips. Some of them work 40, 50 years and never went on a trip in their life. And so these are things that could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they might have grandchildren, because the children already are past the age of working. And I think it would do an awful lot of good, I don't know. But none of the retired officers of the union are involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
None of them that retired after me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see what